organizations and individuals who have been unleashed by the election of President Trump. Neither in Charlottesville, Virginia, nor in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, did the city's participation in the JTTF prevent attacks on the Jewish community.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, dear Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Jay Singh. I'm a field organizer with the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, APANO. The FBI doesn't have prohibitions on surveillance, and we also know that they regularly target members of our community based on religious or political activities and perceived immigration status. The communities that I work with as a field organizer for the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, APANO, includes the South Asian immigrant community as well as those that practice the Sikh faith. There has been increased targeting and discrimination of our communities, as we have seen with the detention of over 70 South Asian Punjabi Sikh individuals in Oregon's only medium security prison in Sheridan, Oregon, this past year, because of the federal government zero tolerance policy. The JTTF is an extension of Trump's deportation force. On behalf of APANO, we urge Portland to stay true to its values and protect our rights by withdrawing from the JTTF. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm E.D. Mondenay, president of the NAACP. To our mayor and to our president, Udeli, and to our esteemed commission. Martin Luther King made it very clear, and this quote became adage, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. The NAACP has had a long history of dealing with the unscrupulous practices of the FBI and other agencies fashioned to keep surveillance on what is thought to be a threat to our great nation, America, and its citizens. The ability of the PBB to help facilitate civil and human rights became a threat when we see a continued partnership with the Joint Terrorist Task Force as it relates to PPB. Recently, our city watched in horror as we assisted in the furtherance of bigotry as the PBB intervened in an illegal eviction of a paying guest at a local hotel. When it is ambiguous at best as to the role that the PBB plays with the JTTF, it becomes a bit problematic. It concerns me when our police commissioner and police chief are only informed about what work the JTTF officers are involved in if those officers of the FBI decide and what is on a needs-to-know basis. The Joint Terrorism Task Force, when we look at our state's sanctuary law, which prohibits local and state local law enforcement agencies from expending its resources from enforcing federal immigration laws, the ability to exercise civil and human rights becomes a threat when we see the continued partnership with the PBB. I am continually at awe that our time and resources are not better spent dealing with white nationalists and a barrage of other white ring extremist groups. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next three are Debbie Iona, Harvey Thorstad, and Maxine Fuchsen, and they'll be followed by A.J. Mendoza, Sandy Polishuk, and Olivia Catby Smith.
Did we lose a shoe?
Anybody see a shoe?
Did she lose a shoe?
She lost her entire boots now, mine just.
Oh,
a
no,
shoe.
The whole
<kaboom. laughs>
Sorry, you got upstaged by a very cute kid. Good afternoon.
That's irresistible, I understand. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. Over its 99-year history, the League has developed a set of fundamental principles upon which we act. Two of those principles relate to the city's participation in the FBI's JTTF. The League promotes an open governmental system that is representative, accountable, and responsive, and that protects individual liberties established by the Constitution. Furthermore, it promotes political responsibility through informed and active participation in government. The League first testified on this issue in 2001 and again urges Council to withdraw from the JTTF. We value the protections afforded by Oregon law to individuals engaging in political and other non-criminal First Amendment activities. Portland residents have no guarantee that our local officers assigned to the JTTF are honoring those protections due to FBI restrictions on access to information. A December 2018 Guardian article underscores the community's concern about FBI actions. The article revealed that the FBI created files on climate change activists in the Midwest. These files are part of a larger effort to assess the work of 350.org. The League believes that our democracy is strengthened and sustained by active participation in government. That involvement is threatened when individuals feel they have to look over their shoulders because they fear they are targets of government surveillance and file keeping. We urge you to withdraw and instead work together on legitimate law enforcement investigations on a case-by-case basis. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for looking into this JTTF issue. I'm Harvey Thorsted. I represent Veterans for Peace. We strongly advocate withdrawing from the JTTF. We're composed of about over 100 chapters, international, including a few chapters in Ireland, Britain, Okinawa, Mexico, Japan. We've been opposed to the JTTF move since its inception. It's part of the federal policy of the war on terror. And internationally, we've seen the war on terror in Iraq, a good part, cities in rubble, thanks to our great efforts. Libya, again, a country in chaos, cities in rubble. Happening in Syria, somewhat in Afghanistan, and now to some extent looking at Venezuela. The JTTF is basically a secret organization. It separates, it makes the cohesion between the police force and the community, it's divisive. It brings them apart rather than closer. Even in some of our own groups, like our own chapters and our peace movement, somebody comes up with an odd thought. Well, gee, are you a JTTF spy trying to lead us into something to discredit us or something like that? The JTTF is divisive. I strongly oppose getting out of it.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and City Council members. My name is Maxine Fuchsen, and I speak as a nurse practitioner representing Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. Our organization urges you to withdraw from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Oregon PSR is an organization of health professionals and public health advocates concerned about threats to human health from war and social inequities. From our perspective, our city's involvement in the JTTF is of grave concern as we see no evidence that the collaboration protects either the community's safety or its health. The American Public Health Association issued a statement last year declaring that police violence is a public health issue that disproportionately impacts communities of color, people with disabilities and mental illnesses, people living in poverty, people experiencing homelessness, immigrant communities, and LGBTQ communities. In short, how we police our communities has a direct impact on the public's health. So considering both effectiveness and equity, we dig ourselves in even deeper in our relationship with the JTTF. There is repeated evidence that the FBI and ICE disproportionately target communities based on national origin, race, religion, political beliefs, and sexual and gender preference. The health connections are real and direct. This is not some distant correlation. The Century Foundation found direct negative impacts as a result of fear that comes from surveillance, targeting, and profiling. The heaviest impact is felt on communities already at a health disadvantage. Fear, of course, correlates with stress and is a potent trigger of trauma and chronic disease. It's known that when communities live in fear and distrust, they are also under-accessing the needed health, educational, and social services. As advocates for community health and safety, Oregon PSR believes that policing should be based on fairness, community involvement, cultural competency, and restorative practices. Please leave the GTTF.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
We're going to go with Fendi, Germany, and then we'll go with AJ Mendoza, Sandy Polishuk, and they'll be followed by Olivia Catkey-Smith, Emery Mort, and Malcolm Shattuck.
Would you like to go ahead and start? You've got your hands full.
Hello. I'm Fendi Germany. Good afternoon. I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I do just want to acknowledge that I believe that the JTTF, regardless of how the language is written, I think we should get to a point in America where we see that racism and discrimination exists, right? And regardless of how this is written, we know that people of color are going to be discriminated against and targeted at a much more higher rate. It was nice to see that the police officers came up here and talked about their training and the things that they're receiving, but we also know that their trainings aren't always effective and they continue to receive training because they're not always following through. So we ask you to withdraw, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council. My name is AJ Mendoza. I am organizer at Portland Jobs with Justice. We are a coalition of over 100 unions, faith communities, student organizations. We take action around workers' rights and economic justice. We urge the city's withdrawal from the JTTF. And I think there's an outflow for me from the labor movement at its best, and that is when we understand that an injury to one is an injury to all. And thinking about what to say last night, the enormity of this situation and not wanting to repeat what's been said, I was reminded of something one of our good mentors taught me, which is good leaders need to be ready to make decisions, but great leaders will always reserve the right to grow in their understanding and make a different choice. So I think there was some obfuscation or some obscuring of things that should be made plain. This creates a situation where communities of color, where members of our community who are Muslim are going to be experiencing discrimination. We've heard it. It makes my stomach, the pit of my stomach fall out to hear how seriously someone's life was affected by this. And that alone, if that can happen even once, then we have no business being a part of this. And we can change that. If sanctuary means anything, it has to mean that this cannot continue. Yeah, I read the op-ed, and I think I draw a different conclusion about who's a part of my community that I need to protect and whose safety concerns me.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
I just want to say I know how nervous you are, and you did an incredible job. Thank you so much for being here.
I love you, AJ.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm Sandy Polishuk, speaking as a representative of 350 PDX, which has partnered with the city repeatedly on resolutions and initiatives to move the city closer to its climate goals, such as the fossil fuel infrastructure ban and divestment from fossil fuels. Our previous mayor hosted a meeting of local government and environmental leaders with 350.org co-founder Bill McKibben. Does this sound like a terrorist organization? Of course not. 350PDX works the full range of climate solutions, from collaboration with you to rousing the public to raise their voices to stop dangerous initiatives such as the Jordan Cove Project. Does this sound like terrorism? Of course not. Occasionally, we put our kayaks in the river to try to protect the Arctic from oil drilling, or our bodies on railroad tracks to stop dangerous trains, oil trains. We never hurt anyone or damage property. We don't run away if authorities come to arrest us. Does that sound like terrorism? Of course not. Yet we know, courtesy of The Guardian, that the FBI is watching 350.org and the network we are a part of. Their interest in peaceful groups like ours takes resources away from the genuinely dangerous. Surveillance of this type creates a chilling effect, reminiscent of the McCarthy era, when people were afraid to sign a petition or attend a meeting. We especially want immigrants, refugees, the Muslim community, and people of color to feel safe enough to exercise their rights as part of our movement and community as well. Whether or not the city is in a formal partnership with the FBI, the Portland Police Department can and will cooperate and work with them in appropriate emergencies. But the city does not need and should not be a partner to the secretive and unlawful work of the FBI against groups such as 350PDX. We urge you to withdraw by passing the resolution. And I have stapled a copy of the Guardian article to my remarks that I will give you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
Next three are Olivia Catby-Smith, Emery Mort, and Malcolm Chaddock. And they'll be followed by Dan Handelman, Mark Kramer, and Ned Roche.
Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Olivia Catby-Smith. I am with the Portland chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. I'm also a member of the Arab community here in Portland. I'm probably not going to say anything you haven't already heard, but I think the fact that you are hearing the same thing over and over again from so many different community members and organizations is a testament to what the people of Portland are asking you to do. Last Friday, the City Council unanimously rejected racism and white supremacy. To put these values into practice, we need to recognize and reject the racism in federal immigration enforcement by DHS and ICE. President Trump has been clear in his bigotry against Muslims and immigrants, and DHS internment camps overflow with children from Latin America. Even if you try to wall off Portland from ICE, policies of the JTTF are set in Washington, D.C., not in Portland. The only way Portland can prevent ICE abuses is to refuse to participate in the JTTF. The FBI tells us that this task force makes our city safer. We want to know, safer for whom? It doesn't make it safer for Muslims, immigrants, people of color, and activists who are disproportionately targeted and surveilled by this task force. I'd also like to know why we're so eager to take the word of an abusive agency like the FBI, who have sided with the KKK as victims versus civil rights organizations, over the word of community members who you claim to represent. I just want to reiterate that by voting to stay in this task force, you will be siding with the FBI over community members like Millie. And after hearing her testimony, I don't know how you can stomach that. Some officials say we should stay in the JTTF as long as there's no evidence of wrongdoing, but that is an impossible burden to put on our communities. JTTF units nationally have engaged in entrapment, surveillance of activists, investigations motivated by bigotry, and have protected white nationalists from prosecution. But if such abuses happen locally, people may not come forward because of fears of deportation, and communities are made compliant by fear. There is more than enough evidence that the JTTF elsewhere has engaged in this wrongdoing. But by saying you need more evidence specific to Portland, you are signaling that you would rather sit on your hands and wait for something else bad to happen to our vulnerable communities communities, rather than take proactive steps to prevent something like that from occurring based on evidence and testimony you've already been presented with. We call on our city council to protect our city from JTTF abuses now, not when it's already too late, and we promise to replace anyone who votes to stay in this task force with people who actually fight in solidarity with us.
Good afternoon.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Emery Mort with Portland's Resistance, and we strongly urge accepting Commissioner Hardesty's resolution for withdrawal from the Federal Joint Terrorism Task Force. Today, we want to speak specifically in solidarity with activists, organizers, and all those who stand apart, people who are frequent targets of FBI JTTF counterterrorism efforts. We invite you to consider the following pattern. Native peoples lead the fight against pipelines in Standing Rock and across the country. They call themselves water protectors. To the FBI, they're potential eco-terrorists. Black Americans unite in the streets to demand justice and dignity. They call themselves, perhaps, Black Lives Matter. To federal agents, they're black identity extremists. Our neighbors here go to the border or to our local secret prisons, standing up to protect immigrants, refugees, children. They might call themselves Occupy ICE. Federal and local agents beg to be allowed to unleash the full force of the law on these heroes. Socialists, communists, anarchists say we all have the right to health care, houses, streets without armed militias. They stand strong as proud anti-fascists. Our chief of police goes on right-wing hate radio to discuss whether these heroes, too, are terrorists who just need their butts kicked by our heavily militarized police. And as we all know, this is just a start to a long list of persecuted activists, organizers, and people who stand apart. In exchange for this coordinated reactionary force, what do we get in return? Do we get safeguards, protections for whistleblowers, a society free from daily mass shootings and terrorizing events, warnings to maybe stop doing wars to create more terrorism? No, we get the opposite. And we hear from leaders a folksy Portland wisdom. Work across departments. Well, we'd sure like it if your offices took a break from meeting with the FBI. We need to stay in because Portland needs a seat at the table. I see a table and I see 50 different groups in these seats voicing our sincere concerns and our vision. And speaking of vision, we hear in op-eds a progressive vision that cities from Oakland to New York will stay united in the JTTF. My time is up here, but I think it's safe to say that our vision is about 180 degrees different from that. And despite the opposition, we here believe that together we will win.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Malcolm Chaddick, and I'm here on behalf of Individuals for Justice. I have the dubious distinction of having had membership in two groups which have been declared to be enemies of the state by the FBI, Peace Fresno and Veterans for Peace, which was on the terrorism watch list for some time. In 2003, I came here to Portland, and within 48 hours, I was in these chambers testifying to what happened to my very first peace group, Peace Fresno, and that we had had an infiltrator in our midst, contrary to California Constitution. Now, I know that's not a local phenomenon, but it is indicative of the repeated practice of the FBI and those that it works with. And since that time, we've been having this debate every so often, and the same set of circumstances seem to obtain. You get rooms full of people saying we need to get out or stay out, depending upon the circumstance. And here we are again. The theme has been beaten and beaten to death. The FBI can't be trusted to play by any sort of rules but its own. And the people of this city don't want anything to do with them. So I think that maybe this time it's time to actually get out. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Dan Handelman, Mark Kramer, and Ned Roche. and they'll be followed by Nathalie Parabasimi, Jacob, and Alex Wise.
Waiting for Mayor Wheeler to call my name, or
no? Go ahead.
All right. Well,
please state your name. Welcome, welcome, and please state your name for the record. I'm currently acting president of the council.
Thank you, President Udaly. President Udaly, and Mayor's absent Mayor Wheeler and members of council. My name is Dan Handelman, representing Peace and Justice Works in our project group, Portland Cop Watch. We observed yesterday's work session, read Commissioner Fish's op-ed, and looked at the counter legislation being proposed for today's hearing. Our group still believes the best course of action is to stay out of the JTTF. Other task forces involving important police do not have the same documented history of involving the FBI inappropriately focusing on people of color, immigrants, and others in violation of Oregon's anti-spying statute. The proposed amendments to the current agreement with the FBI do not fix the problem of deputizing PPB officers, which is not needed for investigations, including the Molotov cocktail threat against Mayor Wheeler. Agreeing to wall off PPB from immigration issues will not guarantee compliance with the Oregon sanctuary law. The FBI runs the task force. Portland cannot override their actions. FBI special agent in charge stated repeatedly, including in his Oregonian op-ed, he can't guarantee the task force won't utilize immigration charges, and such actions are used when there are no other options to disrupt crime or violence. If Portland officers participate in an investigation on the front end, and the FBI turns the alleged suspect over to another agency for deportation for lack of prosecutable criminal activity, the PPB has participated in the immigration aspect of the JTTF. The end result is the same as if the PPB did the investigation themselves. Requiring the chief to seek secret security clearance doesn't change anything. City policy already asks the chief to get top secret clearance. The issue is the Bureau's civilian commissioner does not have access to the same information. That's why Mayor Potter, former police chief, withdrew from the JTTF. The FBI claims Mayor Wheeler's one-day non-disclosure agreements are functionally the same as top secret clearance. We doubt that's true since he can't sit in with his officers for a debriefing without another waiver. Nobody in authority has been talking about changing our nation's reliance on using violence to enforce state policy, which leads to so-called terrorism. While attempting to address problems of being in the JTTF, any tweaks to the current status quo do not protect civil liberties. Support the resolution to withdraw from the JTTF. And I do want to point out that the letter that you were handed by Kimberly from the ACLU does have 50 signatures on it of different organizations, most of whom are here today.
Thank you. Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Members of the council, my name is Mark Kramer. I've been a member of the National Lawyers Guild since 1981. The Guild has been supporting and protecting civil liberties and police accountability in Portland and beyond since that time and before. Along with other concerned citizens, we advocated to have Portland withdraw from JTTF in 2012, only to see us return in 2015. I have some personal experience with surveillance overreach. More than 30 years ago, I had the dubious honor of being included in the PPB Red Squad files. In litigation which led to the dismantling of the Red Squad, the Bureau admitted to using paid agents, volunteer informers, and other techniques to monitor dissenters and agreed that even reasonable suspicion of something as trivial as trespass triggers their response. I was included in the Red Squad not for terrorist or subversive activities, but for representing individuals protesting against apartheid and U.S.-supported repression in Central America. So that informs our analysis today. We have three specific problems, or many specific problems, with the JTTF. One is that the lack of classification. The mayor does not have classification. We don't believe that the de facto classification that's been applied for will suffice. It is essential that the mayor and the commissioner of police, and also, we advance, the director of IPR have a role and be given security clearance before Portland continues in the JTTF. The existing memorandum of understanding provides that each JTF member will be subject to the personal rules and regulations of the PPB. However, without the mayor and IPR and the commissioner getting the security clearance, there is no way to enforce that. By participating in the JTTF, the PPB will lose autonomy in investigations. So if there is a JTTF investigation, the police, our bureau, may not do collateral investigations, may not do independent investigations. It is limited to the JTTF agenda. For those and other reasons, we urge you to support Commissioner Hardesty's proposal to remove Portland from the JTTF. Thank you.
Thank you, and perfect timing. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Ned Roche, and I speak as a member of the Jewish community active nationally with Jews, Muslims, and allies in the Network Against Racism and Islamophobia. We know two things about the JTTF. One is that participation in it does not guarantee safety. The most deadly anti-Semitic attack in American history recently took place in Pittsburgh while that city was actively engaged with the JTTF. The second thing we know is that collaborating with the FBI and ICE through the JTTF means embracing intrusive surveillance, frightening levels of Islamophobia, and the targeting of immigrants, people of color, and activists. We want our city council to be part of imagining the future we collectively dare to create. In thinking about what community and safety might look like, we need revolutionary vision and radical imagination, because it's our imagination, not partnerships with ICE and the FBI, that tells us what's possible. Security is important because it gives us a sense of what we're fighting against. But imagination and community are key because they tell us what we're fighting for. The elusive search for security for some must not come at the expense of freedom for others. To build our future, we need solidarity among all who call Portland home. We need the people who are in targeted communities, as it is they who enrich our lives, and they desperately need us to think, act, and vote inclusively. We urge you to affirm the dignity of all who live in our community and withdraw from the JTTF. Thank you.
Thank you. And Dan, I apologize for getting up. I do have the testimony on my laptop, so I heard it, okay. And I apologize for that. Next three, please.
Are Nathalie Paravicini, Jacob, and Alex Wise, and they'll be followed by Teresa Rayford, Lightning Superhumanity, and Edith Gillis.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start, please?
Good afternoon. My name is Nathalie Paravicini. I'm a doctor and I serve the migrant community, but I'm also a state co-chair of the Pacific Green Party. And I'm here to urge you to vote to withdraw immediately from the JTTF. For one thing, we pay enough taxes to the federal government for them to afford enough resources locally. We do not need to invest our own local resources to any further action with an organization that has an abysmal track record that lasts to this date. My English is not that good today.
It's fine.
And what really makes us secure is a police force or a security force that works with our community, that is part of our community, that's not antagonizing our community. And any association with ICE is totally contrary to public safety and to the public well-being, and I speak from a doctor, because when our migrant people don't go to the clinic because they're afraid, then we have more epidemics and more public health issues. So as I didn't prepare any statements, but we're very strong in the Green Party that we want the Portland to leave the joint task force immediately, and we're very determined that if that doesn't happen, we will take note and we will elect more people on the city council to make that a reality. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Alex Wise. I'm representing People Organizing for Philippine Solidarity, which is a Showing Up for Racial Justice action group and a member of the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines. We are asking that the city withdraw from this task force and would like to share our experience with the U.S. government torturing a guest of ours. In the Philippines under Duterte, there is always a fresh outrage. Yesterday, he arrested a journalist and Time Person of the Year. This is part of a crackdown on all opposition happening with the complicity of the U.S. government. In April 2018, we invited speakers from the Philippines for a Stop the Killings national speaking tour against the tens of thousands of extrajudicial killings. We invited Jerome Abba, a young leader of a Moro indigenous Muslim community organization which works for peace. His homeland is in the poorest part of the country, experiencing a multi-sided civil war and martial law. He had a brand new 10-year U.S. entry visa and speaking invitations from groups like us and the United Methodist Church. Abba was stopped at the San Francisco airport and refused entry by Customs and Border Protection, a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. For over 20 hours, he was then treated like you see a terrorist interrogation on television, being forced to strip naked in front of an industrial fan blowing cold air, forced to sign a blank confession, offered only a ham sandwich to eat, and restricted water. He was repeatedly accused of being a terrorist and a communist, asked about his personal political beliefs and who he knows. They played psychological games, leaving him alone with a grenade on the table in front of him. He was told he had no human rights and was denied access to a lawyer and any communication at all for hours. At the airport and around the country, we protested for him, and thankfully he was not disappeared to a black site. He was put on a plane and deported back to the Philippines. And the San Francisco City Government, which I believe is not a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, passed a resolution asking for an independent investigation. We want you to follow their example, stand up for civil and human rights against the federal government, and leave the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Thank you. Thank
you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Commissioner Hardesty. Commissioners, thank you for letting us speak before you today. My name is Jacob Barreros. I'm the founder of Direct Action Alliance, co-founder of Occupy ICE PDX, founder of 5th District Progressive out in Clackamas County, and I currently work with Femme Strike Back and Power Portland, among other groups locally. What we do is we stand up for our neighbors because our government isn't doing it well enough right now. I'm also a member of Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. My family is from Cotabato in Mindanao, which is now currently under martial law, and I've seen far too severe a price being paid by people in my own family for when the government is allowed to run rampant and run amok without any accountability. We know for a fact right now that the Portland police does not have any accountability. We know for a fact that our federal agencies, law enforcement agencies, have no accountability for when they break the law. What recourse does the community have? We don't have any recourse currently. So what is to stop them from breaking the law? What is to stop them from not acknowledging any of the agreements that you make? What do we know for a fact? We know a few things for a fact. For a fact, we know that the bombing in Boston occurred despite being part of the JTTF. We know for a fact that the shooting at the Pittsburgh synagogue occurred despite being a member of the JTTF. We know that here in Portland, Millie's family was abused, was treated in the most harsh, disgusting way. I was upstairs and I had to go outside and smoke a cigarette. It was enraging. One victim is too much. One victim is too much. We can't have more. We know for a fact that this does not make us safer. We know for a fact that it hurts our community.
That's right. It is
up to you guys to make a difference. Not all of us can make a difference. We are one people. That's why we have to band together and become groups. But you up there, you speak with the full power of the city of Portland, and we are demanding that you withdraw from this unjust task force. Stand up for us. Inspire our youth. Inspire my kids. Inspire your kids. Do the right thing, please.
Thank you.
Next three, please.
The next three are Teresa Rayford, Lightning Superhumanity, and Edith Gillis. And they'll be followed by John, Brian King, and Ned Roche.
Good afternoon. Teresa, you want to start?
Of course. So for the record, my name is Teresa Rayford. I am a native Oregonian and the founder of Don't Shoot Portland. And we don't have to assume anything. The last time that was brought forth to the council, as a community organizer, I organized in my community. I educated community. I spent my own time and energy to the detriment of even my health to organize community around this issue, to educate them on their involvement and what that could mean for our city. Out of the 30 people that showed up in 2015 to give their testimony, the people from the black community, including the children, I can say that all of them have been arrested, and many of those arrests occurred in 2015 following all of our testimonies. Throughout the year following the testimony, after you guys voted to participate when we asked you to withdraw, when we gave you valid reasons to withdraw, when different organizations came here with experience and data to tell you to withdraw, people like myself were humiliated, we were discredited, we were arrested, and we were emotionally traumatized. It's terrorism. It's clear terrorism. And if you don't understand why black people in Portland protest or black people in America protest today, you don't have to go any further than to look downstairs in the display case that's on display right now for Black History Month. Crack, guns, money, the drugs that were brought into our community, the participation with community partners and agencies, the continued participation in community policing against our bodies, the removal of our children, the mass incarceration, these audits don't lie. We might want to say that the city and the JTTF has nothing to do with our education system, but when we have officers in there and they have access to resources within the city's coffers and bureaus that can actually give them an opportunity to investigate and interrogate without us even having the opportunity to participate, and when those same agencies have the opportunity to have us waive our FERPA rights so that we don't have the benefit of privacy, then that's a problem. And for all the communities that are speaking out today, people in this country, the ones that wrote the language that created the oppression, the capitalism, the patriarchy system that binds us and ties us to this type of interrupted behavior, this type of trauma, you understand that you did it for us. Thank you for including us, but you need to withdraw. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity. One of the best things I think you did, Mayor, was bringing in Police Chief Outlaw. I'm going to stand alongside her on this decision. I'm going to request that she does have security clearance. I'd also like to have every one of you to apply and to try to get security clearance. I want to understand what her position will be on the reports that will be supplied and furnished to the public. I want to have a clear understanding on her position on why this will be beneficial to stay with JTTF. And I'm going to go by what she says based upon her training, based upon her experience, and I will rely upon her to protect the interests of the people in this city. Now, my position, again, plain and simple, is that 18 U.S.C. 871, threats against president and successors to the presidency, domestic terrorism. Well, you know what? When you're dealing against the FBI, you want people also within the FBI who have a clear understanding about a lot of the people in this city. You need to have somebody in there. You need to have somebody you can trust. I trust Police Chief Outlaw. I trust her with the people of this city, and I will go along with her decision on this at the end of the day. And she understands by her stepping out like that, all the people in this city will be watching her very close on this. And they do want improvements made to it. They do want different things and adjustments made to it. And I think she's going to get the job done on this. And I want her to have the right. She can withdraw immediately at any time. And the FBI needs to understand this right up front. If she decides to do that, we are out. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Edith Gillis, and I've given the clerk for you the lyrics that the Portland Raging Granny sang this morning or this afternoon. The Portland Raging Grannies are opposed to the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I am here now as an individual. I have been wearing these clothes in mourning for decades for people who have been murdered by the Portland police through no excuse. My children have been traumatized for 12 and a half years after many police tried to murder me when I tried to stop one cop from unlawfully murdering a peacekeeper who was law-abiding and peaceful. My elderly neighbor, Azzy, was taken to the hospital last night because she was so overwhelmed that three of her family members had been murdered by the Portland police that she's just not able just to get up, get out. She has bed sores, has to have surgery, may die from it. Larry Nicholas is having his birthday tomorrow on Valentine's Day. For 5.5 months, he has been in ICE custody, taken to Tacoma because he was unlawfully jailed because of having mental illness from years of trauma and abuse in the Philippines. Over 6,000 Filipinos are forced to leave, and over 27,000 have been murdered that we know of just recently. Being the JTTF did not protect my neighbor, who's just found out last night that another family member was murdered or died in custody last night. We don't know the details yet. They keep lying to us. Being the JTTF did not stop the deaths, disabilities, and terrorism of racism. Being the JTTF didn't protect me and my fellow medic, one upstairs who MLK weekend was afraid that the Joy Gibson goons were stalking, were going to abuse us, probably beat me to death. They didn't stop Joy Gibson from assaulting me or assaulting a sweet, innocent little boy standing on the sidewalk. Get out of the JTF now.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are John, just the name is John only, and then Brian King and Mark Goodson. And then the last three who signed up will be Maggie, Marty Slapikas, and Eric D. Fletcher.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, thank you. My name is Brian King. I'm a resident of Portland. The issue of the day is community safety. Historically, when Portland City Council considers safety, it is prioritizing the safety of white property owners. In light of last Friday's resolution against white supremacy, we should be considering the racism in the JTTF agencies when considering our partnerships. In 2012, a white man named Christopher Barker, a leader of the Klan faction called the Loyal White Knights, assisted in a plot to attack mosques with a radiation weapon. The FBI intercepted and stopped this plot, to its credit, but notably no JTTF unit was involved. The FBI intervened in the prosecution of Mr. Barker, got him parole, and made him a paid informant under the direction of the Greensboro, North Carolina JTTF. During his years under the care of the JTTF, Mr. Barker was charged with multiple counts of assault, including assaults on his wife. He was charged with arson, theft, possession of war weapons, associating with violent extremists in violation of parole, and attempted murder against another Klansman. In 2016, the state attempted to prosecute Mr. Barker for attempted murder. The JTTF petitioned to have the terms of his parole retroactively lifted so that he would not be charged with those parole violations. In 2017, Mr. Barker made bond on the attempted murder charges and was released after only 3 months in prison. Assault, weapons charges, and attempted murder are the results of the Greensboro JTTF's work for public safety when a white man was charged with terrorism. We've been told to only consider the behavior of our local JTTF, so it's important to note that the initial intervention for Mr. Barker came from the National FBI Attorney in Washington, D.C. These agencies don't respect Portland laws. They don't respect Oregon laws, as we've heard yesterday. They work on their own agenda. What happens when a Muslim person of color is accused of terrorism? The East Bay Express, a California weekly paper, investigated FBI charges against 5 terrorism suspects. In each of these cases, the suspects were young Muslim men who were vulnerable due to mental illness, precarious employment, or family estrangements. They ended up being entrapped and set up for decades in prison. The racism is clear. If you're a white man, you're free and on the FBI's payroll. If you're a Muslim immigrant, you're set up for decades in prison. To combat racism in the JTTF, we must withdraw.
Thank you.
My name's John. I'm here to talk about a few things. One, I want to reiterate the concern that was brought up yesterday about the FBI labeling the protest in California as a KKK rally where leftists were targeted afterwards and surveilled, pointing out that the KKK were not present and the traditionalist workers' parties and the Golden State skinheads were present, which the concern here is that it shows that they obviously don't know anything about white nationalists and neo-Nazi groups, if they're confusing those two. Though they have similar ideologies, they're 2-3 totally different organizations. So I wanted to point that out because one of the arguments is that we need these people to protect certain communities from these white nationalist and neo-Nazi organizations. I also want to point out that I've had many very bad interactions with law enforcement. And though I will show them respect for the most part, I don't trust any of them. And this has changed drastically in the last couple years because of my experiences with them. One of the first ones was in May Day 2017, the one that was deemed a riot here. And I witnessed and experienced use of force on myself and also another individual that was punched and tackled to the ground by the Portland Police Bureau. Later found out that this person was not even a part of the protest, was just a random citizen that was walking through the city of Portland. Another being at Occupy ICE, where on three different occasions, Department of Homeland Security attacked protesters and then lied about it. And then most recently was my experience with working with people on the border, providing humanitarian efforts. And about half of the people, about seven people that I interact with down there, were stopped by Border Patrol on the way back through, interrogated, some for up to 9 hours, having cell phones taken, birth certificates, personal information taken. So my point to this is that these are all law enforcement agencies, some of them are federal, and the FBI is not exempt to abuse. I believe this is something that runs rampant in law enforcement and is a cultural issue within those agencies, and policies aren't going to change that.
Thank you both.
Last three who signed up are Maggie, Marty Slapikas, and Eric D. Fletcher.
Good afternoon.
Age before beauty.
Sir, would you like to go ahead, please? Oh. Thank you.
My name is Marty Slapikas. I wish I could say I represented a whole bunch of people. I don't. I'm here on my own, and I have several comments. One is, a definition of terrorism is the use of violence against civilians to promote a cause so unpopular that it cannot succeed without an element of intimidation. That involves terrorism, international, domestic terrorism, and the current threat. Back in months before the year 2000, many months before 9/11, the United States Commission on National Security issued a report co-chaired by former Senators Redmond and Hart outlining threats and recommendations as to what must be done to counteract the threats to the United States. The commission report listed six threat areas, right? The biological, cyber, nuclear, chemical, radiological, and enhanced conventional. Also listed were seven strategic functions: deterrence, prevention, preemption, crisis management, consequence management, attribution, and retaliation. Four levels of involvement were listed, and they are federal, state, local, and private. Each level of government involvement might need to satisfy 42 distinct mission areas. Most, if not all, of the mission areas require gathering current and accurate information. When I was entering Portland for the first time, crossing I-5 State Interstate Bridge late Sunday night, in November 13, 1988. I was unaware that Oregon had passed a state law in 1987, or ORS 181-850. It was caused by an incident in 1977. A lawsuit resulted in the Oregon revised statute that created Oregon sanctuary law. To make my testimony shorter and hopefully meet with the timely, by pulling out of the Federal Joint Terrorism Task Force, limiting cooperation between an agency with vast more information, gathering assets than Portland. And see the attachment one I put in there. 63 areas of gathering information from around the world come into the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Our city decreases the safety that state and city citizens believe they are offering to those who seek a sanctuary from their former countries. Now, I've got concerns, and I'll just list them. If the city of Portland is no longer to participate in its share of national security, Does the city have the resources to protect its citizen from the threats listed in the commission's report? Will the city of Portland no longer share its information with the federal government?
Sir, I'll need you to wrap it up.
Okay, all right. City leaders desire Portland's participation in the global economy. Like it or not, Portland is on a global two-way street. Participating in the global economy should clearly alert city leaders to take notice of the obvious threat of global international terrorism to our local citizens, institutions, and economy. The city of Portland shares a part in the national fight against terrorism to protect our civil rights and existence. I do not suggest pulling out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Thank you for being here. Good afternoon.
Hi. As some of you may know, I'm the granddaughter of an Armenian immigrant. And back in the day, it was McCarthyism. And, it's when your mother comes home from school and she has to say, "Dad, everybody keeps asking me what I am." You're American. That's what you are. Instilling fear into people. I mean, we've had foreign-born people from all over the world serve in our military. We have a grand tradition of migration and integration of culture. I grew up around three military bases because war drives migration, and Korean, Japanese, German, Vietnamese, Cambodian, all these people, I ate my way through the kimchi and the sushi and the German stolen and global warming. It's all going to drive migration. We have to stop being so paranoid. You know what creates violence and lack of safety is marginalization. Creates lack of safety. And that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on integrating everyone into the community and saying you're valued and you're valuable and your input matters. That's what makes a safer community. So I would like everyone's input to matter.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
All right. Very good. So, commissioners, would you like to invite some of our expert testimony back up to ask questions? Did you not get a chance to testify, Philip?
He didn't sign up.
Okay. Come on. Fine. Yes. And the list is closed. This is it.
Happy Vic. Happy family. Happy Vic.
It's fine.
All good.
That was 38, I believe, or 39.
Did you get skipped? Yeah, come on. If you were on the list, come on.
All right.
Yeah. We'll let Philip, he's testifying right now.
My name's Mark Goodson.
No, one second. Philip's testifying.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes.
My hand was up. I definitely I'm not ready to die. I don't understand. So,
good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.